A place that lets you know you're not the only nerdy true believer who's around. The comic book store, the comic book store. Cause that's where the books live, but it's also much more. It's the heart of the art form that we all adore. Your friendly neighborhood comic book store. Out among the stacks of new releases, browsing with your future new best friends.
Ah, yes, now. It's Source Material Live, and I am your host, the Mandated Reporter, and frankly, I'm mortified, Mr. Mark Rattledge. And joining me tonight, speaking of out of the deep woods, holy nuts, it's Ronnie Adams. How do you do, sir?
Sup? How are you?
We've actually met in person. We're all these people that I've met in podcasts with from all over the world and Canada. You and I have actually met in person.
But we have.
This is not the time I'm seeing you.
I know. I got to see your handsome face in person. I was down in Orlando for business, and we were both like, "Hey, let's grab some dinner." And not only did I get to see you, but I got to see your lovely family as well.
Yeah, so this is fun. I had you on earlier in the year. You and I talked Stumptown.
We did, didn't we?
Just like the format this week, we talked the book on Monday, and then later in the week, we talked about the show. And we're back again to do kind of a similar thing. This time, it's Sweet Tooth by Jeff Lemire. Tonight, we're going to talk about the book, because this is source material. And then Thursday, you'll be back again, and we can talk about the depressing, very depressing show.
I will take up for the show. Mm. I have not, I'll be honest, I have not finished it yet, but I will beforehand. Mm-hmm. It's very much not as dark as the comic.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it has its dark points. But,
yeah, that's true.
You know, but the comic is dark.
Yeah, let's get into this. Let's talk a little bit about Jeff Lemire first. So Jeff Lemire he's my age. He's a Canadian comic book writer and author, and artist rather. He's written Essex County Trilogy, Sweet Tooth, The Nobody. He wrote all new Hawkeye, Extraordinary X-Men, Moon Knight, Old Man Logan, Superboy, Animal Man, Justice League Dark, Green Arrow, and then Black Hammer for Dark Horse. How much of Jeff Lemire's work are you familiar with?
Well, let me look. As far as Marvel goes, I've read... sorry, I was chewing on a piece of candy. I apologize. Old Man Logan, which I really enjoyed, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of Moon Knight. Also did the all new Hawkeye, which was good. I mean, like, I'm a bigger fan of why can't I remember his name? Guy that did the Hawkeye series, the solo series.
Oh, Matt Fraction.
Matt Fraction, bigger fan of Fraction.
Yeah.
But much, much bigger fan of Fraction. But I mean, he did well. I've read Bloodshot. Bloodshot is actually cool. Much like the Vin Diesel movie is not cool. man, I really wanted to like that movie.
I wish we could have had you on at the time, because Jesse and I talked the comic book, and then we it was so funny, actually. We bring up Bloodshot, because we did the book, and you know, back then, because Jesse likes to edit, we recorded the Bloodshot show the week before. And then the following week, like, Robert, it was one of those ones where Robert Winfrey refused to review the movie.
Right.
And there was nobody else around that really wanted to do it. Bloodshot did not exactly capture the imaginations of people I work with on these podcasts.
Right.
So Jesse, who's always like my go-to guy, is like, Jesse, everyone said no to me. He was like, I'll review anything. Jesse, you know, I don't want to use the word whore, because that doesn't that doesn't really tell the story I'm trying to tell, that Jesse's so helpful and, you know, and Jesse, yeah, you know, is so magnanimous. So he came on and we discussed it, but it's a very like auspicious show because it's the show right before the lockdown happened.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah.
It was like that week. So like it kind of stands apart from anything else we've ever done on the Rattle Legend Broadcasting Network, because it was kind of like, let's talk about Bloodshot. All right, we're done talking about Bloodshot. Let's talk about how the world just ended. And like right. that, and that was yeah. kind of the whole show at that point.
Yeah, yeah. Which, anyway.
Well, it's funny because thematically it does tie into this book, right? You know, this yeah, book's yeah. This book, Sweet Tooth, that Jeff Lemire wrote, is really about like a post-apocalyptic future. And in that post-apocalyptic future, we have people running around that are that have like animal parts to them. They've mutated with some degree of hybrid animal feature. And then everybody else has died of a pandemic.
Right. And there was something else that I watched where everybody was running around with masks and stuff on. It was like in the middle of a pandemic and, you know, and I was like, really, 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 is this the time to be releasing these movies? You know, and TV shows. But I guess it is. I mean, it's, if anything, it's relatable, sort of.
I think it definitely speaks to the culture. I mean, yeah. I don't know how popular any of this stuff. I mean, we talk in some cases about like the culture of anxiety, you know, and like, what are people going to relate to in right. you know, in literature, and I would include comic books in that, television and movies, absolutely. Yeah. And music. And it's so funny because like a lot of the stuff that we've covered this year is either the result of or deals with in some way, because this book was written, Jesus Christ, Out of the Woods, the original 5-issue limited series, the first 5 issues came out in 2009.
Yeah, September, I was going to say, yeah.
September 2009 to January of 2010 is what this first volume we're going to talk about, Out of the Deep Woods, incorporates. And, you know, like, how would you have known years from now?
Right.
From 2009 that this is what 2020 was going to be. But I do think that, like, there is at least a anxiety in the culture even prior to the pandemic about that kind of thing happening. And certainly the idea that we're going to flush the planet down the toilet and those survivors are going to live in a post-apocalyptic hell is not a new one. Mad Max.
I mean, Mad Max, why did all movies and literature just completely flee my mind? And they're just like, hey, Ronnie wants to sound smart. Run. So... but just about any of your dystopian post-apocalyptic, well, kind of dystopian post-apocalyptic, you know, books, movies, TV shows, things like that deal with that. I mean, shoot, I'm watching season 2 of Black Summer. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you've got, I just watched 28 Days Later, which, was not mm-hmm. a zombie movie. I mean, rewatched it. It's not the first time I've seen it. Completely forgot that Cillian Murphy went like full Monty in that, and I was like literally on lunch at work eating at my desk, and then I was like, oh, 28 Days Later, oh, there's penis, wow.
Boy, if I had a nickel every time I said, oh, there's penis, I'd have 2 nickels.
Right. and that was a virus, the rage virus.
Ugh. Right.
But it's just, it preys. I love zombie movies, but they're horror films, and the horror films prey, and I use that word, on your insecurities and your fears and your anxieties. And that's exactly right. What this does. And if you want to feel, they want you to feel that, the same thing that their characters do. So that's what they use. I don't know how many, pandemic movies that are going to come out after this, you know, it's just like how many 9/11 movies came out after 9/11.
Right. Well, you know, I now remember why we were talking about this, because I think we were talking about, like, so the Iraq War, how many movies that produced.
Absolutely.
And didn't, like, half of them get nominated for Oscars in 1 year?
Like, right.
A ridiculous amount.
Yeah.
So, you know, another one, like The Big Short, right? You know, The mm-hmm. Big Short comes out, but that, you know, after, like, the financial crash of, I think it was 2008.
Yeah.
And everything that occurred after that. I know, and without getting into politics here, but I know that, like, the election of Donald Trump was by and large a reaction to, one was a reaction to the two terms of Barack Obama, for better or for worse. Mm-hmm. Not taking an opinion on the matter. The man existed, he became president, and people
absolutely.
People reacted, and a lot of their reaction led to them voting for Donald Trump. You know, but the other side of that was everything, the long-term fallout of the financial crash
mm-hmm.
that happened at the end of the Bush administration, which is in part why a lot of people voted for Barack Obama that year. In any case, getting off track. So this book, Sweet Tooth, you know, while it was written well before this, I still think, you know, the idea that this sort of thing might happen was out there and dealt with in many different ways and many different forms of media. And this was just one interpretation of it.
That finger wag just a second ago was telling you to be careful. We're getting into politics a little bit too much. No. Ronnie doesn't do that.
No, you're right. You're right.
I abhor politics. I have my beliefs and I have my, who I vote for and everything else. And I don't give a crap what you vote for, what you believe. Just make sure you believe in and vote for what you are passionate about and knowledgeable about. Don't be ignorant. Do your research. Anyway, it's fantasy. It's fanciful to think that a virus would hit and then all of a sudden everybody starts growing horns,
right?
Or rabbit parts or whatever. And then if you don't, you die. But
come on, fluffy bunny tail. Come on, fluffy bunny tail.
Right. And shoot, I would go for a skunk tail at that point. I don't care. Just give me something.
Do you ever people listening to this, especially if they're listening to just the audio version, like, are they ever going to get to the book?
No.
The book is 5 issues, and it took me. I got really anxious because I didn't get to started. I didn't get started reading the book till like 7:30 tonight, and I knew we had to like record this at 9. And I'm like, I'm never going to get this done in time. I'm going to have to tell Ronnie to wait.
You're just
20 skimming. After 8. You know, I read the whole thing, and at the 20 after 8, I was like, well, that was a thing that happened.
Yeah, it reminds me of in when we talked about Invincible, where mm-hmm. they said, you know, where the artists use the same panels over and over again.
Yeah,
it reminded me a little bit of that because a lot of the same thing happened in some of them.
Yeah, this is these 5 issues were not a long read. This is not a wordy tome. This is not Kevin Smith's Daredevil, which I'm still in my back office reading from a few years ago.
You I gave up.
Yeah, it's I think given a choice between having to fully read and actually, like, you know, not just skim through like I ended up doing, but like really dig into
Tolstoy,
Kevin Smith's Daredevil, or being waterboarded.
Right.
I feel like I can handle waterboarding.
I've been read War and Peace. I've read legit. And I've read.
Have you ever read Ara Karina?
No.
That's another one that's like this big.
Yeah, that one scared me a little. But I've read a lot of, you know, craziness and Old Man in the Sea and mm-hmm. a lot of stuff that everybody's like, you know, goes to sleep to. And I'm like, hey, that's a pretty good book. Some of them are like, oh, God, that was boring. You know, even like Moby Dick has a whole chapter dedicated to lamp oil.
Right. Like isn't that the Lord of the Rings like that, too, where he just like goes on forever about like the tiniest details?
Yeah. And that's why when they did a special edition movie, they were all 4.5 hours long.
Right.
But even those were better than Kevin Smith. And yes. I love Kevin Smith.
That's so bad. Like, I was listening to this podcast. These guys were talking about Sweet Tooth and spent 20 minutes just dissing Kevin Smith's Daredevil. Ugh.
It's not good.
It's very dense. All right. So let's get some facts out of the way about this Sweet Tooth book. So Sweet Tooth is an American comic book limited series written and drawn by Jeff Lemire, published by DC Vertigo's imprint, dubbed as Mad Max meets Bambi. It takes place in a mostly rural apocalyptic setting where some creatures are human-animal hybrids. Following the conclusion of the original series in January 2013, a sequel subtitled The Return began publication in November 2020, and then this was adapted into the television series that's currently on Netflix. So the Wikipedia has the entire run summarized. I'm just going to read a few sentences from this. Gus, a young boy with deer features, lives a quiet life in the deep woods with his father. He learns many things from medical care to religious prophecy. Though he loves his religious father, he yearns to escape as he learns that there is not fire past the trees, but simply more land. Sometime after Gus's father passes from an illness, strange men come to capture him. They are slain by Jeppard, who then promises to take Gus to a sanctuary. Lonely, Gus goes with him. Along the way, they encounter many problems. Hybrid cultists almost kill Jeppard. Jeppard rhymes with
Jeppard.
Leopard. Yeah, Jeppard.
Rhymes I mean, with you're leopard. You're going to old school fan like
yeah.
Shut up, Ronnie.
No, it's fine.
No, I can't help it. I'm dumb.
So Jeppard, which rhymes with leopard.
Yes.
but Gus saves him. Sweet Tooth then earns his nickname by eating all of Jeppard's candy food stashed, though he had gained more food while Jeppard recovered. The duel also rescues several women from a prostitution ring. It was a whorehouse, Ronnie Adams.
It was a whorehouse. Lord.
But no man whose name rhymes with a wild cat can be trusted.
And that's so true.
And so ultimately, Jeppard betrays Gus to a horrible scientific facility in return for the bones of his wife. Though by the time what we see in the book doesn't show you what's in the duffel bag that he gets, and you don't really see where he left them. They just know that like the preserve is not. It's not a safe place for Gus, and that's where the book ends. So just kind of going over it again, like the first issue, we meet him, we kind of watch his dad wither away and die, and then Gus leaves the homestead. He nearly gets caught by poachers, hunters, whatever they were. That's when the big man finds him, the big man saves him, and then the big man befriends him and says, come on, come with me if you want to live, like the Terminator. In their travels, they end up at the whorehouse. Gus kind of weighs on the big man's conscience, and he's like, we can't just leave. I'm not a smart man, but I know what's right.
Right? Yeah.
Gus is a little Forrest Gumpy.
Can we just, ladies and gentlemen of the creative world, can we get past the religious stereotype that is conveyed in this book, that if you're religious, then you're dumber than a rock.
Do you really think that that's what they were going for here? Like,
shooting like his slingshot at a scarecrow. Get out of here, sinner. I mean, that's how I read it.
In defense of Jeff Lemire in this one particular instance, the father is extremely devout and they were isolated. I mean, you may develop some odd tics.
I get it. But not everybody from West Virginia is Jesco White.
Do you really think that's where Jeff... I mean, I'm not familiar enough with his work as a compare and contrast. I don't have Chris Sheehan to give me the complete history of someone who, you know, someone's comic book history who also hates God.
Who is this?
Chris Sheehan. Love
Chris Sheehan. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, frequent guest on Source Material, and he happens to know a lot more about the history of some of these guys than I do. So this has come up in the past. So we've actually had long, long conversations on many podcasts about how a lot of comic book writers insert their agenda, and many of them are not fond of organized religion, and that comes
they're just not fond of God.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I don't know if that's what he meant by it, and forgive me if he didn't, but that's just how I took it.
That's fair. So
mainly because of the Flintstones.
We're stuck. Well, see, like if we were talking about Mark Russell, valid point. We well established he hates organized religion.
Man, he hates. He doesn't even know me, and he hates me. He hates everything.
Yeah, he's not fond of anything to the right of communism, as near as I can tell.
He's not a fan of anything, period.
But I don't know anything about Jeff Lemire.
I don't either.
Anything fun in his Wikipedia page. Personal life, let's see. I hate God. No.
No, he's married and has a son. That's it.
Yeah, that's all it says.
Yeah.
Just kind of looking through any of this. I mean, does anything jump out at you? Or like, oh, I read that. And
no, you know,
he had an agenda.
No, not so much. Not that I can remember. Let's put it that way. Half the time I go into this stuff, not even realizing there is an agenda, mm-hmm. because I don't want there to be. No matter what side of the spectrum is on, I don't want there to be an agenda, so I don't see one. Willful ignorance on my part, because I'm just tired of that crap. Whether it's one way or the other, I don't care. Just make something good, you know? That's all I ask. And, you know, make it entertaining. And they're like, but you can't, you know, create something without inserting yourself into it, blah, blah, blah. Honestly, sounded a lot dirtier than it did in my head when I said it out loud. But but yes, you can. Absolutely, you can. I create a world every 2 weeks or every week for players at a D&D table that has none of my political or religious beliefs in it.
Really, the orcs don't break into a political discussion.
They do not
midway through the combat.
Don't have politics. They just hit each other with sharp things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's you know there is political and religious beliefs in the D&D game, but it's all fantasy of that world,
right?
You know, hierarchies and fictitious gods of. You know, fantasy novels and works and games and everything else. I mean, shoot, there's a whole pantheon of gods, different pantheon of gods of different worlds in the back of the player's handbook. So, you know, it's just one of those things where, like, it's possible. Just, I mean, look at Army of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nobody thinking about anything in that movie.
No.
Yeah.
No, I suppose not.
I loved it.
That's fair. Let me ask you, what did you think of the artwork in this?
I'm not a fan of the sloppier artwork.
No, I didn't love it either. I tell you, I really wanted to love this entire book. Because the show is at the very least, really interesting.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, but like this first set of five comics, like, you know, I was starting to go through the plot synopsis there. Not a whole lot happens in these first five issues. Like the most that happens they save the girls from the whorehouse, and then they're like, take us with you. No. Okay, fuck you then.
Right. You know,
and that's kind of the end of that.
Okay. Well, he gets pissed. I mean, Jeopard gets pissed because they're standing there, and it's a brothel. It's a whorehouse. Mm-hmm. And he looks at one of the girls. How old is she? She can't be but 15 years old. And then, obviously, spoiler alert, he kills both of the owners viciously. And then they're like, he frees them. And they're like, well, take us with you. We don't have any, you know, we don't know how to live here. We don't know what else to do. And he's like, no. How about no? Well, why? I mean, I get why, but like, you save them from people that hate them and use them for their bodies, and then you're just like, all right, well, now I'm back to hating you as well. I don't give a crap what happens to you from here, even though I rescued you from this horrible situation. Now I'm putting you in another one and telling you fend for yourself.
Right.
It just didn't make sense to me, you know, and I get that he's not a hero in this book.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a hero, but also he needs to quit doing heroic things if he's not a hero. I know that he's probably a good man with things that are weighing on him, but he's also kind of crazy because he turns a young boy in to these people that are going to torture and kill him and use him for scientific experiments to get the bones of his dead wife.
Because he's going to make soup.
wait, he's going to make
gross.
He's going to make soup. What?
Wow, that was, wow. Production quality right there. I love it.
Wait, should I do it again? Hey, hang on.
Yes.
Hang on. He's do the line with the bones.
Because he exchanges the life of a poor young boy for the bones of his dead wife.
That's because he's gonna make soup.
Oh, that was beautiful.
I have been dying to play with my sound. Hey, you know what, Ronnie, though? We've been talking about this one subject for a little too long here, and I'd asked you about the art, and then we kind of got away from it, so you know what we should do?
Get on with it.
Yes, get over there!
Do you remember when I was on Vlog Dog Radio, and I had a
big soundboard? You had the soundboard. This is beautiful. This is going back to Blog Talk, and the soundboard days, and I love it. I'm tearing up a little bit here.
Ronnie,
that?
I know you don't like politics, and I was kind of on a political tangent before, and you might have thought that I was beating a dead horse. Well, Sean, you wanted me to play fun clips and images in my podcast. You got it.
Oh, Mongo, that was amazing. I have to ask, though.
Yes, sir.
Could you not find the South Park beating a dead horse?
I could, and I would, and but I've always wanted to use the Mongo bit.
No, Mongo's no perfect.
Good. But when we were strictly an audio medium, it's not a very good sound.
That's true. That's very, very true. But Mongo is perfect. Don't get me wrong. But I go for the low hanging fruit.
So
which would have been the South Park beating a dead horse.
Right. So we were talking about the art and
yeah.
Okay, so two things. So we can have like a coherent review of this book.
Right.
Because right now we're like drunk drivers, which is fine.
We've made some good points.
Yes, but we've taken out a child and a tree along the way. So as I look through the images of this book, the first thing that it was like, I gave it 3 stars in my final review on Goodreads. And I was like, it's okay. Like the first book, it's very much just kind of, here's this character here, you know, here's Jeopard, here's Gus, here's the world. Here's a smidgen of the world they live in.
Yeah.
They save the girls in the whorehouse and then he betrays them and leaves them with these seemingly evil people. We don't know what they are, what they're doing, or why he's there. I think there's a line in the end, in the last issue, about put him in the kennel with the rest. And that's as far as you get. So, like, in 5 issues, we got barely the semblance of a story. We got chapter 1 of the first adventure. That's as far as it got, which I guess is fine for the first volume of this, and it went 46 issues. So I'm sure over the long stretch of time, Lemire was like, no, the whole story is told. Things happen. It's just like, for what we're reviewing tonight, it's just a morsel, which leads to the artwork. So it's like, okay, well, you're not getting a whole lot with the story, but at least, you know, but at least there's the art.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Well, look at, can you pull up a close up of Gus's face?
Okay.
What is he? Like, I get it. I can't draw a straight line between two, sir. You know, like, I used to sketch. I used to draw and everything like that. But these are things that I just, I mean, like, and I don't mean to disparage somebody else's work, but I'm just not a fan of this. I don't think, I think it looks sloppy in some points. Now, Big Man, you know, Jeopard, does he refer to him as Big Man in this a lot? Yeah.
At least once.
He looks okay, you know. I mean, he's got the crazy eye going on in this one, and these panels. But it's just like, I don't know. And later on, when you find the other two hybrids that are hiding in the, and I didn't even know what kind of animal they were supposed to be.
Right.
And I'm just like, I'm not a fan of this. I'm not a fan of this style. Is it better than I could do? Absolutely. Am I a fan of it? No.
No, and that, and look, I don't think it's incompetent. You know, like if I were to draw a comic, I would be incompetent. I'm not an artist. These hands, these ham-fisted sausage fingers I got, not made for drawing.
Right.
For smashing. No. they're made for bongo playing.
I like it.
Bingo, bango, bongo, kangaroo. Anyway, speaking of kangaroos, let's get back to Sweet Tooth.
Yes, please.
Park here. but like it's not incompetent. It's not unprofessional. It's stylized. Yeah. I don't love the style. And I think that's what you're saying too. It's like, of all the different styles of comic book art there out there, I don't love this one. So I don't know. There's not a whole lot else to say about this. I've been talking a lot. I want to get your thoughts here. As you read this, as you read the story, what were some of the things you were thinking about?
Slow down. Develop the story more.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my exact thoughts. Does not help that I started watching the TV show before I read this, which we'll go into that Wednesday night.
We'll have a lot more to discuss.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good. And there's a question mark on the end of that because I have expressed to you many, many times about my hatred of you saying it's fine.
Can we just talk about that for a second? Why can't things be fine? Why can't, like, this is an average comic book.
Mark, give me your thoughts on this. It's fine. You remind me of an old girlfriend I had.
Hang on. Whoa. Hang on. Because I'm asked in chats, okay, which is a written medium, in many cases, and chat is not meant for long discourses on any given subject. Like,
then tell the other people in the chat that.
Well, they're not having a long discourse so much as they're just going back and forth. But it's not like anyone's writing a giant. There's a lot of pissing and moaning. But it's not like anyone in the chat is writing long essays about the nature of film and comic books or whatever. They're just, I loved it. I hated it. I think this person should die of AIDS. True story. Someone said that. person who made things should die of AIDS. Fantastic.
That turns my stomach.
Yeah, it's not great. But my point being is, a lot of times, like, the chat format just doesn't lend itself, at least to me, a place to give a full opinion on things.
I get it. Now, here's my side of the story.
That's what this is for. This.
Yeah.
This.
Now, here's my side of the story.
Is where I go into long discourses.
This is my side of the story of this. Give me a little more that I can chew on and think about, other than it's fun. Ha!
What's the thing that pissed you? We're totally off topic, but that's okay. What is the thing that like you wanted a discourse for me that I gave, like, so like the biggest, most worst situation where, and I'm gonna give you a minute to think about it while I do the grammarly.
Okay, go for it.
So think about the time that pissed you off the most that you were like, I want all of this from Mark, and I got, it's fine. Okay. And while you do that, I'll tell all of our friends out there, but one of the great sponsors of the Source Material Live podcast on the Rattlage and Broadcasting Network on W2M. And that is Grammarly. Grammarly's AI-powered products help people communicate more effectively. Grammarly helps you write mistake-free on Gmail, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and nearly anywhere else you write on the web. Grammarly corrects hundreds of grammar, punctuation, and spelling mistakes, while also catching contextual errors, improving vocabulary, and suggesting style improvements. To download Grammarly today, go to getgrammarly.com/W2M network. Again, that's getgrammarly.com/W2M network to download Grammarly for free. All right, sir, you're on.
The Mandalorian.
I knew you were going to say that one.
That show. Hey, no. You let me talk now. People have such strong opinions about it one way or the other. And I'm not kidding. And now mostly I've heard nothing but positive, you know. Oh my gosh, it's so good. Hey, it's really good. I wish I had changed this. Didn't
Are we
like
limiting
this
to season one? Because I had a lot more opinions about season two.
I don't even remember asking you about season two because I didn't care about your opinion after the first one.
Okay, so season one, got it.
Yeah, season one. I said, what do you think, Mark? Did you know on your review? It's fine.
Okay. Your Honor, if I can approach the bench, I hadn't done the podcast yet.
Don't care. I'm not asking you to do the podcast in the chat. I'm just saying, give me something.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, I really liked it. I enjoyed it. I did this, not just like when somebody serves me subpar pasta and I'm like, it's fine. That's when I'm like, you know, it's fine. But, you know, Lord. Okay. Yeah, that's just about it.
Okay. So just so I can defend myself.
I'm not attacking you.
No. You're fine. See, big smile. I enjoyed this conversation with you. It's fine. So
you're such a dick.
One, like I said, I don't really like. Whew, there she is. There's Miss Bunny Ears.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, sorry. I was stepped away for a second. There she is.
Yeah.
That's gross.
Little Miss Bunny Ears, who's 15 or so.
Yeah.
So the whole it's fine thing, and then we got to get back to talking about Sweet Tooth.
Or end
talking about Sweet Tooth, because I don't have a whole lot more to say here. One, I don't like the chat format for any kind of long discussion about anything. It's part of the reason why Robert Winfrey and I get into so many fights on there. because this is even better because like you can see me now. So not only can you see me make a face or, you know, or hear the inflection of my voice to know that I'm joking about something.
Oh,
or,
absolutely.
I'm being lighthearted about something. Chat doesn't lend itself to that. It's one of the reasons why I've always hated chat or instant messenger. You never know how to take a person unless they're being abundantly clear and like very flat.
Yeah.
So like when people ask me if I don't have a strong opinion about something, and I didn't have a strong opinion about The Mandalorian, it was a very nice show. It was very entertaining. I think it did everything it was supposed to do. I think, and the conversation I had with Alexis, I don't know if you ever listened to us talk about it, but we got into a conversation about, like, gravitas.
I hate to admit that, but I haven't. Yeah.
It's fine. We got into a conversation about, like, gravitas.
Right.
And, you know, and how some shows, I'll say the obvious one, like The Wire, but another one that I liked from 2019, The Watchmen. I've all over this podcast talking about, you know, that show.
Don't understand that one.
To a lesser degree, like Falcon and Winter Soldier, if we're talking pure popcorn culture that has some value, you know, at a higher order, I thought the Falcon and Winter Soldier had something to say. It said it in a very, I think, broad way, but it had a vantage point. You know, it had a point of view where
it didn't get too preachy.
And I just didn't think The Mandalorian had anything to say. It was a boy and his dog having an adventure. I know it doesn't have to, but
there you go.
But here's the thing. I think we're either conflating or we're projecting in the sense that just because something doesn't have a point of view or something to say about this, oh God, that picture about, you know, God, the nature and man.
That's so stupid. I hate that. Whoa.
Doesn't mean it's not good. Something can be good and just be shallow. Plug. Jason Teasley and I talked about the first Porky's movie.
Mm-hmm.
The first Porky's movie is not saying anything about, you know, about life, the universe, and everything, but it's man entertaining. It's a very shallow movie about horny boys wanting to get laid. It doesn't have to be anything else. So the Mandalorian and Porky's are the Mandalorian and Porky's are the same thing.
Yeah. No.
You remember that time that Mando stuck his dick in the hole? Never mind.
Right? No. Okay. So I'm a big fan of Westerns. And I'm a big fan. I was raised on Star Wars.
Sure.
I haven't been to Galaxy's Edge yet, but I know as soon as I step on it and I see the life-size replica of, you know, of the Millennium Falcon that I can go into, I'm probably going to cry.
Right.
I'm man enough to admit that I will cry in this because this is, you know, this is my childhood. This is, you know, what I was raised on. Mm-hmm. So I give people leeway on not, you know, of not thinking it's the best thing since sliced bread because they may not be as passionate about it as I am. Mm-hmm. I am. And I see the flaws in the movies and stuff like that. I see that. I'm, if you could not find a harsher judge, a harsher judge on the prequels than me. But I was just looking for something more than whether it was like, yes, it was great or no, it sucked. I was looking for me personally, I was just looking for something a little more than it's fine. Because I think in my mind, I was just like, how could it just be fine? This is a big deal. This is huge. This is pop culture. This is things. This is something happening. You know, this is legit. This is cinematic history being made.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is a spinoff of the Star Wars series in TV show form, something we never thought we would get.
Right.
And we're getting it. And then that's what hit me. And I was just like, oh, here it comes. He's going to hate it. He's going to love it. He's going to say, I poop on it or whatever. And you're like, it's fine. And I'm just like, you could hear the proverbial, like the air being let right out of the balloon. And I'm like, oh, what the F you mean is fine?
Should have listened to the podcast.
I tried.
How did we get on the subject? I think I asked you, what did you think about while you were reading Sweet Tooth?
Yeah.
I wish Mark had an opinion about The Mandalorian.
Right, yeah, that was it. That was okay. It. But okay, Sweet Tooth. It's okay. It's fine. There was one time that I would allow you to do that. It would be this book. It would be this book because there's not much to the first five issues of this.
Yeah.
There's not much story.
Even what we're looking at right now, those on the screen can see it. For those of you listening on podcast, there's a bit where he has like a hallucination that he's talking to his dad. And there's so much they could have done with that. And it's kind of, I wish you'd listened to me and not gone into the woods. But I mean, like the father's contention about like, just stay on the farm and don't go anywhere. Like he might not have withered and died. He was growing his own food, but I can't imagine mentally this character would have survived, you know, an entire lifetime of isolation in a cabin in the woods. So I don't know. I just feel like there was more that could have been made of the conversation he has with the dad. And it just sort of amounts to like guilt, I guess, you know, like, I should have listened to my dad. I should have stayed on there. So now I'm having this nightmare about it. Like, all right.
Well, there's and also with these two characters, there's no growth.
Yeah,
there's no real character growth. And I've said that before in this show. You expect to have a comic book. Well, I expect literature because that's what they are.
Sure.
I expect some character growth.
I think the only defense of that is that like maybe it comes later, but we can only judge the first five issues.
Well, it's just like Stumptown.
Right.
Where we're just like, it was good, but there was no growth.
Right.
And with this, I'm sure there's growth in there, but there is plenty of, okay, let's not say character growth. There's character realization.
Mm-hmm.
There's character reveal. Like what, I mean, like there's so much more, and we'll talk about this on Thursday night, I'm sure, but there's so much more to the show that they've added. Like it's almost a completely different story at some points.
It seems like a lot of the stuff, especially having to do with the doctor and his wife, the Indian fella.
That's completely fabricated that I'm aware of.
Okay. I thought it might be in the next graphic novel.
Maybe it is. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Because he does seem like he's nice to him in this. Nice enough at first. But, it's just like, also there's so much more that they could do with this world that I don't feel like they're doing with in this. It's very contained in these first five issues. And I guess for what I expect for a story about a young boy going out into the world is more of the world to go out into.
Right.
Instead of just, hey, we're walking on the road. Hey, there's a whorehouse. Oh, hey, here's the people I'm going to turn you into. Bye-bye. You got my wife's bones? Awesome. Let's go make soup.
I need them bones.
I need them bones. I got to make my soup. Yeah, I was just thinking of that. There was a super cool scene in Street Fighter II, the animated movie.
Yes, sir.
Where it introduced Ken, and it was them bones by Alice in Chains playing on his car radio. I just remember that.
Yeah. All right.
I'm random.
All right, man. Final thoughts on.
I dropped my bottle.
Final thoughts on this book. I'll go first.
Go for it, because I got two words for you.
Good. It's been fun tonight, pal.
Yeah, I love it.
Hang on, that didn't count on camera. Try that again. Hit me. It's been take two. It's been fun tonight, pal. I gotta make sure my hand gets like high enough because the camera's not catching it if I just like do that.
Well, like you said, there's only like half of me. It's like I'm very like I have this specific setup for my video game stream.
Yes.
And I don't want to touch anything because I'll break it. But it also I swear I have shoulders. And the rest of my body.
You're not just a head and a pair of legs. You have a torso.
Go ahead with your final thoughts.
Just
like it's my show.
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
I think
like to have you back.
I don't want to review an entire 46 issue run of a series. And so where do you draw the line? Well, the demarcation right line here would seem to be, just doing a simple graphic novel. And I think this is the House of M argument all over again. I feel like we just did this not that long ago, but you tell your story in the book I'm reading. Unfortunately, the opposing argument to that is, but the story continues. What do you want them to do? So it's hard. This doesn't stand on its own, but it's not supposed to. It's part of a series. It's like,
right.
If these were novels, just regular good old fashioned American novels, like The Hunger Games was a series of novels. Harry Potter was a series of novels.
Well, I mean, I'll put it this way. Each of those, though, could stand alone by themselves if they were never written. It was never written again. It would leave you wanting for more, but this does not stand alone.
Right. There's no conclusion. It's, it's what happens in the next episode kind of a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Your final thoughts.
It's fine. No. No.
Wait. What is it, Bonnie?
Huh?
What is it?
It's fine. There we go. Never thought I'd be happy to see a pink My Little Pony play the drums.
I was really caught between that one or Peter Griffin in the house that had collapsed, like crawling to the drum set.
Oh, man. Oh, that would have been great. either one, though. Yeah, it's good, but I find it lacking.
Okay. Is this something, if we weren't, like, one, if this hadn't been adapted into a television show, we were just kind of like roaming around the comic book store, and I said, like, oh, hey, kid with deer antlers.
Absolutely not. Out.
Yeah. And like, if you'd gotten through the first five issues, or you were at a Books a Million, you picked up the first
graphic novel. I would have left it after the first issue.
Really? You wouldn't have even made it to the issue number five? Because my question was, like, would you go on to the next graphic novel? Would you go on?
Honestly,
to the next
I would have seen the art, flipped through it, and put it back.
Oh, okay. Wouldn't even read the thing.
No, I wouldn't even read the thing. I hate to say that. I'm especially now that I don't really collect, I'm very picky. What I spend my money on.
And now that you have read it and we've talked about it, you're not interested to see what the next chapter is?
No, because it was free.
Got it.
I'm not financially invested in it.
Okay, that's fair.
I mean, I hate to say it like that, but it's the truth.
No, I mean, I think look, there's plenty of, you know how many, like, trade one I have on my shelf that I've not gone back and read anything else. Like
right,
this stuff this stuff I want to read more of. Like I have the first two trades, I think, of the Immortal Hulk. And I would like to continue reading that series. I'd like to finish reading whatever the one with the Korean kid is. Oh gosh. The Totally Awesome Hulk.
I didn't like that one. I don't know why.
I've read a couple of trades of it, but I would like to read the whole series. I just never got a chance. So, I mean, I get it. We're all busy and, you know, you can't always finish a series. So that's fair. Yeah. All right. We will talk again on Thursday. We'll have a much more in-depth conversation. What are you listening to these days? What kind of music?
What am I listening to? What do you mean? Music-wise? Yes. Oh, music-wise. I, sir, have discovered the wonderful world of you told me what it was and I forgot, but battle metal.
Yeah, okay. Turicis. That's what
I hit. Yeah, Turicis, Manowar. I love Manowar. I actually anywhere from Manowar down to a good friend of mine, Sarah, she introduced me to Ben Rector. Totally left field from Manowar and Turicis and all that. Sabaton. And then, you know, sometimes I'll go completely left and I'll listen to The Greatest Showman, which is amazing soundtrack. And also I listened to just today, I was listening to John Carpenter anthology, all of his,
isn't that the guy movies. That's from Mars, John Carpenter from Mars.
We don't talk about that movie. It was all of the from 1974 to 1998,
mm-hmm.
The themes from his movies. So if you That's look cool. at it, yeah, In the Mouth of Madness, Assault on Precinct 13, The Fog, Halloween, Prince of Darkness, Escape from New York, The Thing, They Live, Pork Chop Express, which is Big Trouble in Little China.
Right.
There's all kinds of great stuff on there.
So I bring that up because Amazon Music, one of the great sponsors of the Rattlesnake Broadcasting Network and W2M, right, you know, and the Source Material podcast, obviously, is giving away a free 30 days of their streaming service. And as you can see on the screen, for those of you listening at home, I've got up their catalog of Turicis. You mentioned battle metal.
I did.
And Turicis is one of my favorite battle metal bands. And as you can see here, look at this. They've got all the albums here. They've got Battle Metal. They've got the Rasputin single, The Varangian Way, Stand Up and Fight. Yes. Yeah. Stand Up and Fight. So if you click the link and you click the link and you fill out the information.
Right.
Sorry. I got distracted. You click the link. You click the link. You fill out the information. You sign up for the free 30 days. Helps us out, right? Keeps the gears on this podcast moving. But then you can stream all the Turicis or John Lennon or John Major or John Bradshaw, whatever it is you find on. I don't know. You never know what you're going to find. You never know what you're going to find on AmazonMusic.com. And whatever streaming service you're using, give them a chance. You'll find that it is a superior product. So go ahead and click the link at getamazonmusic.com/W2M network to get your free 30 days of Amazon Music. Who doesn't love free music? Ronnie Adams. I love free music too. You know what I was listening to earlier today?
What were you listening to earlier?
I was listening to
I spoke English there.
I was listening to the new Styx album. Speaking of, you know, all you churchy Christian people. You like Styx?
Churchy Christian people. I do like Styx.
Yeah. I was listening to the new Styx album, Crash of the Crown. Tom Morello is on some sort of new EP. I was listening to that. That just dropped on Friday. I got some other stuff here in my playlist. I got Hacktivist. They dropped a new album. This Wednesday on the Metal Hammer of Doom, we're reviewing the new Fear Factory, so that'll be fun. And that's really? On music too. Yeah.
Huh. Some of these bands I think you make up still.
You said really like you're a huge fan of Fear Factory, and then I remembered like
no, half of what I love Fear Factory.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do.
Oh wow,
you should. I like a lot more than what you give me credit for. Well, but then you come off with like Spank Monkeys from the Planet X.
You're thinking of John Cougar Concentration Camp.
That too. We're reviewing the new John Cougar Concentration Camp CD. With the new one? What do you mean new one?
Please
they had one before?
Please sponsor our show, Manscaped.
is that the ball shaving thing?
Yeah, that was where the...
Are they not?
They do more than shave balls. And they're not a sponsor yet.
Are they not a sponsor yet? Hey, Manscaped. Two things. sponsor this show. And sponsor me too.
All right. Ronnie Adams, here's what I'm doing the rest of the week. I mentioned earlier today, we reviewed Luca. I had my kids on the show. And it was Robert Winfrey and Alexis Haina and I. We did the whole Luca review. It was better than fine. I want to just kind of give you a hint.
It was okay.
Now we heaped praise upon Luca. We tend to like the Pixar movies. Like if you're looking for a positive review of anything we've ever done outside of The Good Dinosaur, we have always been very positive on Pixar. Tomorrow will be less positive. We're reviewing Hell in a Cell. I did a bunch of single match TikTok reviews.
One minute I got a bone to pick with you on on TikTok, by the way.
Oh my God, what? First of all, I've developed a tick.
And a talk. Dad jokes.
You know what? I'm not even a dad. Luca review. I'm not going to repeat myself in case everyone listens to all of our stuff. But suffice it to say, trying to step up my social media game to put the podcast out there, I have gone slightly mad.
He has. I'm on TikTok. I haven't made a TikTok in a while.
You're on TikTok?
Yeah, I followed you, Misfits and Miscreants.
Oh, that's you?
Yeah, that's me, dog. Oh, you haven't watched any of my stuff? You
would have
seen my face on there. No, you haven't, liar. I've watched every video you put out. No. You were showing what you got for Father's Day, and you said, mm-hmm. Hey, they got me a Fast and Furious Funko Pop, because apparently I'm a 9-year-old child that collects Funko Pops. And I'm like, hey.
I think I said 12.
Douche face. I collect Funko Pops. I mean, like, right here. This is Pike Trickfoot from Critical Role.
Do you see what I just put on screen?
No. Oh, see? Yeah, exactly. Wow, that's a good one, by the way.
Yeah, I got this for Christmas. I keep Peter Griffin close to my desk because I am Peter Griffin.
This is Dritz Duorden. Duorden. I can't say his last name.
What is a Dritz dry?
Dritz is a drow, which is an elf from Dungeons and Dragons lore. He is wonderful. I have more than D&D related Funko Pops, just not on my desk right now.
Okay. I'm gonna live TikTok you.
Oh no! Are you live? Can you go live on TikTok? Do you have 1,000 followers on TikTok?
No, I don't have 1,000 followers.
I was like, how did you do that?
What are you again? Miscreants and...
Misfits and Miscreants. You know, I've only been on your show multiple times plugging my stuff that you'd think a friend would actually listen to.
Ronnie Adams TikTok. This is great audio, by the way. I'm holding my phone up and I'm live TikToking Ronnie. Right. This is what happens when we don't like the door and there's nothing to talk about.
Right? That's not it. You did something weird there.
What is this pornography?
I didn't do that. That's not mine.
That's not yours?
Oh. What is it? No, it's not mine. Okay. Did you say pornography?
I'm still on your TikTok. Oh, wait.
Nope, you're not. Damn. So the ones you were just watching, were old players of an old campaign of mine, leveling up.
Mm-hmm.
This is them. You can't see it really because of the lights.
Okay, now I'm on your TikTok.
Yeah. So, and this actually a lot of these happened right before the pandemic. This one did.
There you are again.
Yeah.
What's happening here?
I'm stitching.
Oh, okay.
And duetting. See, that guy I duetted.
Okay.
He said, make a nerd cry in 5 words or less. Mm-hmm. And I said, what did I say? I said, it made me cry a little bit. Make a nerd cry in 5 words or less.
Make a nerd cry in 5 words or less.
Here it is.
I think we're done with this bit now.
Fight against the sadness, Artax.
I said, fight against the sadness, Artax.
So I was doing my plugs, and then you needed to yell at me because I called Listen, I think the point of that particular TikTok was that I had changed my mind. I'd come to your side, Ronnie Adams.
I don't think it was. I think you were taking a personal shot at me.
I'm taking a personal shot at everyone who owns Funko Pops, including myself.
And my dragon miniature. takes offense to that. I own a lot of toys.
I'm sorry, your dragon miniature.
As well as my zombie T-Rex, rawr.
I wish you had started this 45 minutes ago because I really just wanted to plug to get out of this. But now I'm fascinated by what's on Ronnie's desk, which I feel like is a whole other show.
It's true. It could be. Like, this is a...
You wouldn't adjust your camera before because you didn't want to show what was on your desk. And now you're showing me what's on your desk.
I'm selectively showing you monsters from D&D.
Okay. Which makes for awesome audio, by the way, for people listening on Apple Podcasts.
Well, we're live. You can put this on YouTube. People can watch it, right?
It's going on YouTube, assuming I'm blocked again. Stupid and, Disney.
Don't mess with the mouse.
I messed with the mouse and I won, but it was
here's
a
Nightwalker.
Okay.
All these things are bad.
I need you to sigh and say I've wasted my life.
There's what they call it, a froghemoth.
It kind of looks like if you hadn't turned it, I would have thought it was Slimer from Ghostbusters.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I've not wasted my life, but I've not done good things with it. I've done a lot of okay drugs. Things. No, this whole setup would make more sense if I had, because I'm buying, things like abominable Yetis.
Okay. Well, could you just give me a ballpark when we're done with this bit? I don't want to cut you off, but.
Yeah. No, you're good.
Okay. Great.
We're good. We're good.
So anyway.
Here's a frost giant.
Terrific. So tomorrow during the day, myself, Harry Broadhurst, and Chris Bailey will review Hell in the Cell. We did a couple of TikTok individual match reviews, me and my kids, kind of promoting it. But the full review discussed by middle-aged men who will be tomorrow. in the evening time, myself and Pat Mullen will be doing the next chapter in The Four Kings of Boxing, Chapter 2, Marvelous Marvin Hagler. The aforementioned Fear Factor review is Wednesday night, Aggression Continuum. Which I know you're busy on Wednesdays, but if you like Fear Factory and you want to come on, open invitation.
I might do that.
Okay, that one's going to be audio only. We're going to fire up old Betsy. And then on Thursday, as soon as I get done watching Fear of a Black Quarterback with my wife, which is not a porn, it's a documentary.
here's another dragon.
I like that you no-selled my porn joke to show me a dragon. Ronnie will have a full display of all of his miniatures. While we talk about Sweet Tooth season one. And then on Friday, we've got a whole bunch of Fast and Furious content coming out to celebrate the F9, the Fast Saga, which will be in theaters on Friday. Plus, starting a new show, which is just open to everybody I podcast with, but we're doing the inaugural show with Jeff Sloboda from the MCU's Bleeding Edge podcast, of which we are now friendly with, and we have traded guests. He will be coming on a new show that I'm calling Triple Feature, where we take three movies and we do them Ronnie Adams style, which is to say, we just say they're fine, and then we move on to the next one. No long-form discussion. We spend about 10 to 20 minutes on each film, just kind of going over them. These are not the ones that we need to do deep dives on. We're just like, hey, these are out there for people to watch. What do we think of them?
Sure.
So the first episode, we're going to review Awake, Infinite, and The Ice Road. Do you have any idea what any of those are?
Ice Road, yes.
The Ice Road will be out actually that day. It'll be on Netflix with Liam Neeson.
I've heard of it as well, yeah.
And then Awake is a new horror movie that's on Netflix. And then Infinite is the garbage movie that's on Paramount Plus that everyone hates. So I'm going to have a fun time talking about that. That's a Mark Wahlberg sci-fi movie.
Okay. I'm just waiting for the Tomorrow War.
That's coming up soon. Are you coming on that show to talk with us?
Not that I know of.
Okay. Okay. When you say you're just waiting for it, you're waiting to see it.
I'm waiting to see it. I'm a Chris Pratt fan.
Cool. Yeah, we're going to be reviewing that too. All right,
yeah,
man.
I figured.
Go ahead, do your plugs and take me home, baby doll.
Hey, the only reason that I have all these miniatures is because I am a dungeon master, which means it's nothing kinky. I run Dungeons & Dragons.
It'd be much more interesting if it was, though.
No. Nobody wants to see that, Mark.
Nobody. As I've learned from TikToking.
Nobody wants to see that?
TikToking. No, everyone wants to see it.
Yeah,
part of the reason why I'm putting up the shit that I am is...
you get some healthy views.
It's because I can't believe what's on TikTok. So,
dude, I watched some dude plow his head into a wall on TikTok, and for like, it was amazing. I actually have a Twitch channel. I have a stream where we stream live play Dungeons and Dragons, and it is not as boring as it sounds. It's actually quite fun. We're winding down my Tuesday night game, Curse of Strahd. A week from tomorrow will be the last session where they actually fight the vampire Strahd. It's a lot of fun. This Saturday coming, it's going to be Trouble in Winterhold, which will lead to a gigantic 5-table battle interactive, which will have 5 separate tables, 5 separate DMs, all playing the same storyline in sync with one another. It's really actually pretty cool. In between shows, you see a lot of my dumb head playing video games on there. We're going to do some more tabletop role-playing games and just tabletop games, you know, board games, card games, stuff like that. We're going to do a lot more of that on there as well. It's called Misfits and Miscreants. And we've got a really cool, if I could plug this real quick. At the end of July, not the end, but in the middle of July, the 14th, 15th, and 16th, we have a very special guest coming to Burlington, North Carolina. There's a game shop that I actually DM and teach kids how to play Dungeons & Dragons called Hypermind. It's called Hypermind, and it is here in Burlington, North Carolina. And Ernie Gygax Jr. is coming to run 3 nights of gaming for us in July, 14th, 15th, and 16th. And I can already see the confusion on Mark's face right now by saying, well, who the crap is Ernie Gygax Jr.? Now, if you're a Dungeons & Dragons player, you know who that is. But I will tell you, it is the son of Gary Gygax, Ernest Gary Gygax, who is the co-creator of Dungeons & Dragons. So Ernie is his son and has created a lot of the spells and characters and everything that people are familiar with. And he was also an executive producer on the old Dungeons and Dragons cartoon from the 80s. So it's a really cool experience. It is a ticketed event. And what that ticket gets you when you buy a ticket, for this table, it's 10 people per table. We have to limit it. 10 people per night. But when you buy that ticket, it gets you a 4-hour session with Ernie and gets you food. We're going to feed you and also gets you a little bit of Q&A time with Ernie as well. So there's a lot of cool things coming up that we're getting into. I've got 2 new campaigns coming up in the near future. I'm taking a trip up to Wisconsin, which is pretty much the D&D Mecca there. And it's like, why Wisconsin? Gary Gygax is from. So I'm going to get to meet a lot of the old school gamers up there as well. So a lot of cool stuff coming up. So if you can go to twitch.tv and search Misfits and Miscreants and give us a follow, we'll keep you updated on everything. That's it.
All right. Cool. Ronnie, always a pleasure. Always love hanging out with you, brother.
Oh, me too, man. I love it.
Even if we are just rambling and meandering around, we always have fun conversations.
Absolutely.
I should have you. I only get to have you like maybe like one week a month to do stuff. I wish I could have you on more often because like our conversations, even if they're about nothing, are about life, the universe, and everything.
We will work on that, my friend. I promise.
All right. In the meantime, in between time, for Ronnie Adams, I'm Mark Radley. This has been Source Material Live. We'll see you again on Thursday. Be well, be safe, and behave.